your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Hey! I feel like I was just talking.
You were.
Oh, that's right.
Dude,
why do I have like a wicked echo?
Is it when I back up like that?
Yeah.
That's better.
There that's why. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Shock Therapy Live.
Good evening.
Dude, it's been a month since we've had Shock Therapy Live, since May 6th.
It's kind of ridiculous.
I feel like we suck.
We do suck.
Man, we need to be better hosts.
We do.
People have like all these questions. They're not getting them answered. They're like, my brain's exploding.
I know.
You know what I watched today when I came home from church? The most godly thing. No, I came
the
home
Angels
from
game.
I did watch that.
Okay.
Got angry, sinned in the flesh, and changed the channel. And, dude, I haven't seen it in so long, but it's so good. Aliens Resurrection.
Oh, really?
Did you not like that one? You just had a face.
The very ending, I liked it.
The ending was dumb.
The
alien baby.
Alien baby?
And Sigourney's crying as he gets sucked through the little tiny hole.
Oh, alien human baby.
Alien with human eyes.
That was the worst.
Dude, the eyes creeped me out on that alien.
Yeah.
Creepy eyes.
The face it makes is stupid.
It goes... Like I picture... I don't know. It's like when my son gets
stupid
really sad.
Yeah.
It's like a mixture between a face my dog makes and my son makes.
Well, it's half human, half alien, so
yes.
It's kind of the same. Yeah. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig with you tonight. Feeling like a bum. I'm not even wearing... I just kind of kicked off my little...
What's that? There's that one... What's that fictional beast that they tracked down in that one show? It's like Pig Something Man. Pig.
Man Bear Pig.
Man Bear Pig.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Man Bear Pig. That's the face a Man Bear Pig would make.
Yeah. So, we're live. Shock Therapy Live. Purpose of Shock Therapy Live, if you're just joining in for the first time ever, is to hang out with you. Seriously. Maybe you, read something this week that you were like, what? Or a friend this week was like, yo, man, da da da. And you're like, what? Or some dude's like, hey, what's your perspective on gay marriage? And you're like, that's pretty much Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, we're here to hang out. And if you have questions or if you just want to rap with us about something going on in your week, that's why we're here.
Dude, I had a crazy week.
Yeah?
Had a baby.
Yeah, I had a baby. Which
pretty
is
gnarly.
Dude, congratulations for being the first man to have a baby.
Yeah, I know, man.
Yeah.
It was like,
so
it was crazy. I was so honored, you know. I went on after and did a multicast the entire world and let them know that I have produced a human child.
Yeah.
And man, it's been really, really, really crazy.
How's your wife?
People have been trying to steal my baby because of that.
Stop
actually.
It.
And you know, it's some genetic phenomenon.
Is she doing okay?
Yeah, she's doing good.
Good, man.
Besides the fact that she had a baby come out of her body.
Yeah, that's kind of always
It's like I just think about that. It's like it's incredible that that happens because if someone asked me, oh, so, hey, I heard that you peed an 8-pound ball. Are you okay? How you feeling? How you feeling today?
I died.
Like, no, I quit.
I quit life.
I don't know what I quit, but I quit it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
I told my wife, I said, you're so lucky that you are the wife and it didn't get like reversed and it, like you ended up being a boy and I was the girl because we wouldn't have kids.
Yeah.
If I was a female, I would not, that's not, wouldn't even be an option in my mind. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Dude. It was the first, Seth was a C-section. This one was an actual natural
birth. Oh.
Dude, it blew my mind. Blew my mind.
Yeah. Well, it's like you're watching the miracle of life. It's crazy.
No, no, not the miracle of life. Like, that's gnarly, bro. That's gnarly. I've seen horror movies that are more kosher than that, dude. That's crazy stuff. It's not for the faint of heart. It is not for the faint of heart. You're like, dude, you know you really love your wife when you've seen her go through that.
Yeah.
You still love her after that? You're like, okay, I know this is real because that was freaking gnarly and I still love you.
Oh, I love how you're putting it as if like you went through this traumatic experience watching your wife have a baby.
Dude, blood squirting isn't okay anytime.
Dude, no, it's not. But she was the one that endured that, not you, stupid.
Dude, she had an epidural.
Come on. Janae,
just kidding.
I am praying for you.
No, she's, she's doing good, though. She's still
awesome.
A little sore, but she's doing good.
Yeah, she had a baby.
Yeah.
So pray for the Heitzigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seth, at first, didn't want to talk to us. He came into the hospital and he looked at us and he said, "Seth, come here." And he went, he looked and he put his head to the ground and then he walked over to our to Janae's mom and just wanted to be with Janae's mom. Wouldn't come near us. And then at one point he tried to kick her.
Wow!
Because he wanted to come over and cuddle her, and then we told him no, and so he went and started hitting her. We're like, no,
your child's a brat. You need to spank that kid.
No, we do.
I'm just kidding.
Thank you. Nice. Coming from the guy who, whenever I go to his house, his kids come punch me in the lower regions with pork fists.
Hey, you know what? Fair game. You entered the arena.
Dude. It was UFC fight this past week, and the first thing that happens when I come through the door, freaking Luke comes up with Hulk fist and punches me right in the nether regions. Bam! And then I look in the back.
You gotta be prepared!
And then I look in the back, and Luke comes over with Asnar.
Oh,
and
wow.
Freaking pounds me in the bottom.
Yeah.
I'm getting like, man.
Yeah.
Craziness.
My kids are crazy.
Dude, they're so cool.
But they're awesome.
They're awesome.
Speaking of UFC fights, took Steven and his lady. They left town. Steven Christian gone. But we went last night to the Hard Rock Casino and saw UFC fights live. Like,
dude,
we were ringside.
Fun.
Diego Sanchez was with us. Carlos Condit, the welterweight champion, was there. It was cool. It was a lot of fun.
Was there any good fights?
You know, it was gnarly. I felt bad. After like two fights, a dear friend who was with us was like, "I think I'm tapping out. This is no, because we were literally ringside up against the octagon, and second fight, one of the guys' nose was like a line, and then all of a sudden it looked like a C, like we were learning Sesame Street, and that was it for her. She was done.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, she stayed throughout, but
Did you guys have to leave?
No, we stayed.
Okay.
It was an interesting evening. It was. But it was cool because it was sitting with Diego and he was explaining stuff because, I'd never been. It was fun.
Dude,
it was a blast. We're going to have to get that guy on the show at some point.
Yes.
Shock Therapy Live.
It'll be fun.
So you're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O and Pastor Nate with you. I realize it's summer and, you know, nobody's really doing homework right now. And that's usually what happens. People doing homework listening to Shock Therapy Live.
Yep.
Phone lines are open 505-338-3700. It's 505-338-3700 if you'd like to hang out with us, if you would like to ask a question, or if you'd like to keep it anonymous. I know you can do that as well.
Yeah, so you were telling me you had a pretty crazy situation happen or something.
Yeah, studio@mystaticradio.com. Studio@mystatic. Okay.
I want to hear this.
I need wisdom, bro, okay? I got to ask you a serious question. Yesterday, all right, I wake up. I'm just getting up. Oh, yeah. Okay, ding dong. All right. Get the door! Kids, get the door! Oh, ding dong. Get the door! Oh, you know what? I'll just get it myself. So I go to the door, and there's these three little kids. They were all female kids from ages 8 to 12. I mean, we're talking like young kids.
Girl Scout cookies?
See, that's what you think. So I open the door, and they go, huh? And they nudge the littlest one forward, the 8-year-old. She goes, "Hi, I would like to invite you to the most important event you will ever attend," and and gives me the spiel, and then hands me a pamphlet for this Jehovah's Witness conference, right?
Dude, that's awesome!
And so I was like, oh. But then in my heart, it was like, okay. So I started in, and did, "Oh, that's amazing, so you love Jesus?" "Yeah." "Oh, cool, so who is he?" "Well, he's the Son of God." "Oh, is just the Son of God? What about the book of John?" You know, blah, blah, blah. We start talking. God, "Well, no, that's, he's God's son. He's not God. He did, but why was he crucified?" "Well, blasphemy, because he said he was the Son of God." "Did he say he was the Son of God, or did he say he was God?" No. You know, we start, and then I start like schooling these little kids, and then I realize I'm a bully.
You're not a bully.
I felt like a jerk, dude, because I'm sitting there. They're like 8 to 12. I was waiting for like the dad to come back 2 hours later and be like, "Ding
dong." You know
what
you're doing? You're saving little kids from hell.
Right.
you're a hero. You're a superhero. You're like Superman.
So
their parents are Lex Luthor, and you're Superman.
Yeah, I finally said, "You know what? I'm sorry, guys. We won't be attending that." And Jack and Luke were behind the screen just staring at me like, I walked back inside, and they seriously were like, "That was awesome!"
I wish Jack and Luke would have come out there with Hulk clones and Asnar, bro. That would have been a way better
scared
story.
Scared them off. We love Jesus. We love the real Jesus more. And my kids are punching you off the property.
Dude,
bye.
I wish that while you were talking to the kids, that your kids were standing behind you going, "We love Jesus. Yes, we do. We love Jesus. How about you?"
That would have been, see, and that would have been better. I should have had them come out in school because I just felt weird because they were little kids and I'm sitting here like theologically schooling this child. But at the same time, they were coming to my door to talk about Jehovah's Witness stuff. So what do I do? You know what I mean?
See, the reason why they were there is because the parents were in the car behind them on the street smoking crack.
Wait, so it's like, what
hey,
do you?
Kids, go,
oh, really, bro? Like you're wow. proselytizing out your children because what? You think like nice little girls are gonna like
dude,
make
gnarly.
People go? I don't know.
That's gnarly.
I just didn't know what to do. Was I wrong? Was I right? Should I have stopped earlier? I totally felt bad after a few. You know, lashings and then stopped and was like, well, you guys have fun with your little thing, you know.
Dude, I would have done it in
good
love.
Good luck in hell. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that.
I just pull out my Bible and just show him Bible. What do you think that means?
I took it to John, you know.
Did
you, in the beginning
did you pull
was
out
the
Bible
word.
And have him read it?
Word was with
did,
God.
Could they read?
Word,
could they read yet?
Yeah, well, yeah, they could read. They were like 12.
But you said like 6 and...
8 to 12.
Okay.
8 to 12-ish. I don't know. It was, man. It was interesting to say the least. But I don't know.
That's crazy.
What do you do in a situation
I've never
like
heard
that?
Of that?
Really? Never
I've
had kids come to your door and try to
come to my door.
Oh, dude.
I had some Jehovah's Witnesses that are going through my neighborhood, and they wanted to talk to Spanish speaking people. They said, "Hi, is there anyone in this house who speaks Spanish?" And I said, "No, but I speak a little Greek. You guys want to talk about the Bible?" And it was a younger guy, like 18, and he came up, and the older guy was behind the door, and the older guy said something to the kid, and the kid was like, no, we just are trying to, you know, tell some people about the Bible." And I was like, "I know a lot about the Bible. Let's talk about it." And all of a sudden, the older guy just tapped on his shoulder, and they walked away.
Yeah, see? Ugh. So you got shunned.
Yeah.
You got the shun. Shun.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Anyways. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700.
We have a question.
Oh, we do.
Like. We finally got one.
On Facebook, I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
From Amber?
Yeah.
Amber Dawn, she says, "So I was wondering if someone who is saved dies when they're not right with God, would they still go to heaven?"
Okay, complicated question. I'm going to let you know right off the bat. Within your question is an oxymoron. If you are saved, you are right with God.
Right.
You cannot be saved and be not right with God. To be saved, literally one of the terms for salvation is called to be made right.
Right.
That's one of the definitions. So you can't be saved and not be right with God. You have to be right with God to be saved. Is it possible for someone who's saved to fall into a season of backsliding? Is it possible for someone who's saved to, you know, sin? Let's say, for instance, let's say you're driving in your car and you see a billboard and it has something inappropriate on it, and your mind begins to wander and you have lust in your heart. If you get in a car accident, God's not going to say, "Sorry, you
right.
should have watched your eyes.
Oh, should have repented.
You should have looked at the Bible billboard." He's not going to do that and send you to hell.
Right.
Now, I want to be careful with this because this is a huge debate in Christianity.
Right.
And it really boils down to the thought of, can you lose your salvation? And this is something we've tackled numerous times on Shock Therapy, the idea of justification and sanctification.
And it's always scary when somebody is asking the question of, okay, so this invisible line, where can we get to and where do we...
You know, this is, we've talked about it so many times. I'd encourage you, if you really want to know more about that, to look at our Shock Therapy podcast and check out some of that. But this is what, you know, we're talking about this drawing the line. Will you draw the line for me of how far is too far? At what point am I not saved anymore? And I would respond and I would say, instead of saying how bad is too bad, how holy is too holy? How pure is too pure? How righteous is too righteous? And instead of drawing the line in the mud, let's draw the line in the street, and let's draw the line and realize that there's righteousness and there's holiness that we need to strive to as our best standard, not sin. But more in depth on that subject, the concept here is this: if your life is marked and ruled by sin, then you're not taking part in sanctification within your life. If your life is marked and ruled by Christianity, Well, then there's sanctification happening in your life. And what I mean by that is some people can still be a Christian and yet still be caught in the sin.
Right.
I've had dear friends of mine who have struggled with pornography and masturbation and with sex and drugs and all these things. And I've had friends who have struggled with these sins, but they've sincerely loved Jesus Christ, and it breaks their heart when they sin, and they sincerely come back in repentance. And you can tell their life is marked by Christ, and there's sin that God's trying to get out of their life.
Right.
Then there's other people that I've met who they go to church once a week, but their life is not marked by Christ. They sin constantly. When they leave the doors, they continue to sin. They have no remorse. They have no feeling that it's wrong. And I tend to think that people that are living that style of a lifestyle aren't walking in light. They're walking in darkness. They're not taking part in sanctification. And the issue, I think it's even more grave than someone on the street who just believes that they're not saved. They're not saved, but they think they are. And that's even scarier, because they're going through life thinking that because they go to church once a week or because they do this, that they're going to go to heaven, and they're fooling themselves. So I think that there's a fine line there between backsliding or between a Christian being caught in sin. Let's say this. There's a difference between a Christian being caught in sin and a sinner being caught in Christianity.
There you go.
I think a lot of sinners are caught in Christianity, and they think that because they go to church or because they own a Bible or they've read purpose-driven life that they're going to heaven. And that's just a sinner caught in Christianity. And I think that it's okay for a Christian to be caught in sin at times as long as they're striving to get out of that. But the opposite is not true.
Right. So there's a difference between struggling with something and then outright just living.
Yeah. You know, the Bible talks about that. You know, John tells us in 1 John to walk in light, walk circumspectly, do not walk in darkness, that darkness has no fellowship with light. And walking signifies in the Bible a daily continual process in the way that you're living. So walking in light means that you're daily walking in light. You're striving to rid yourself of the darkness of the sin in your life. Whereas walking in darkness means that the sin in your life has become a lifestyle of your of who you are.
Yeah.
It defines who you are. When someone looks at you, they can label you as this. They can label you as, oh, you know, you are an adulterer. Why?
Yeah.
Because you consistently do it. There's no remorse in your heart. There's no this in your heart. It's consistent. That's different between a Christian committing adultery and an adulterer. There's a difference there.
Right.
Or a Christian, you know, falling into pornography or being addicted to pornography. You know, I think there's a difference there, and I think that it's very important to distinguish those and realize that if I'm calling myself a Christian, but my life isn't claiming it at all, then I'm not a Christian. Because actions do speak much louder than words. And sanctification is a very real part of salvation. And if you're not daily being given over to Christ and at least attempting to let him change the things in your life, then there's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Right on. Hello, Static Radio.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, just had a little comment about this conversation here. I've been saved since junior high school, so that'd be like 7 years now. Wow. Anyway, I was brought up in church. Family's brought up to church. You know, have a good Christian base, I would say. And we had a sermon on this tonight. You know, there are people, you know. I fully believe in eternal security.
Yes.
You know, once saved, always saved. Now, I do think there are people that are going to be very surprised when the rapture takes place. They'll have no idea what's going on because they've backslidden that far and gotten into just some dark places. But, you know, that's going to surprise them. I also think that, you know,
You know, I agree with you, man. You say once saved, always saved. I firmly believe in that doctrine. But I think it's very important for us in our day and age, I would say we live in a very religious day and age, to define what salvation is. I think a lot of times because of altar calls and because of Billy Graham crusades and Harvest crusades, we can think that being saved just means going forward in an altar call and saying a prayer. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that salvation is three parts: justification, sanctification, and glorification. So as a believer, if you're not taking part in sanctification, you're not saved. And I think a lot of people say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? It's what the Bible says. The Bible talks about sanctification, to daily be sanctified. And so if we're not being sanctified, then we are not saved. And it's as simple as that, that it's not enough. I think that a lot of people are going to be surprised, like you said, on the rapture, and they're going to be surprised because they went forward an altar call and they thought they were saved and they never were sanctified. They never gave their life fully over to Christ. They said a prayer, but, you know, all it was a prayer. It wasn't, it didn't
no
change
follow
anything.
Through.
Yeah, there was no follow through.
Yeah.
So I think there are going to be a lot of people surprised, but they're going to be surprised because they're not going up when they thought they should.
And I think on the flip side, there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of Christians that are going to be surprised at who is there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think, like we're talking about right now, I remember asking this question back in the day when I was in sin. You know what I mean? I think I did that in high school. So, okay, so if I'm in sin, and I were to die right now, what I'm trying to say is, can I still sleep with my girlfriend and be a Christian? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's because I didn't have that, regenerate heart, that attitude that, what I was doing was wrong. I knew that it was wrong, but I desired it so much so that I didn't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, there's a difference between that and from, man, falling into temptation and stumbling and make it, because you know what? First John also says that if you say you don't, if you say you haven't sinned, you're a liar and the truth is not in
you. That's why I always love an altar call, is to invite people who need to rededicate their lives. And I've heard some people say,
well, that's not in the Bible.
I've heard some people say, well, there wasn't actually any salvation tonight. There were 6-3 dedications. My response is always, well, I want to talk to those people and look at their lives, because there's some people who go to the church for a really long time and think they're saved. And when they rededicate, they're really giving their lives to Christ, because they're not a Christian. You look at their lives and they're not a Christian. And that's why I always say in an altar call, look, when I ask people if they're saved, I always say, I'm not asking you if you said a prayer before. I'm not asking you if you come for an altar call. I'm asking you if right now your life is characterized by your love and your walk with Christ. Because if our lives are not characterized by our walk and love for Christ, then we are not saved. And that's the message of sanctification. So, you know, I agree with the doctrine of once saved, always saved, but I think we need to define that.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Brian.
Well, hey, guys.
Yeah.
No, all right, we're still. All right, the other part I was thinking about is just, I had remembered, that is very true. We need a redefine of salvation. Salvation is a total walk with God. It's not a prayer. It's not something you did when you were a kid. It's a walk with God that you have every day. You know, in that,
correct.
If you have that walk with God every day, you're not going to, we're going to go to this thing at the rapture called the judgment seat of Christ. Meaning those saved are going to go to God and they're going to have to give the account of their life as a saved person, as a person who has a relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
Now, because I'm saved, and I know I am 100%, you know, Jesus is, you know, my Savior, I know that no matter what I do, I can't be, you know, turned down and sent to hell. But it doesn't mean I should want to do anything bad, like sleep with my girlfriend, or go down the street and rob all subs, or, you know,
right,
anything like that. By that definition of salvation, you have an absolute understanding and a want and a love with Christ.
Yeah, and
live
this,
and be like him. Yeah.
And this is where it gets hard, and this is why it's so
thanks
hard
for the call,
to answer
man.
This question for people, is because it's hard for each of us to judge someone else's heart. I can't tell you whether or not you really are sincere and you really do love Christ and you're just falling into sin, or if you just said a prayer because you did it at the spur of the moment. You know, it's hard for me to judge that, and it makes it difficult to answer that question specifically. And that's why we're not supposed to judge man's heart. We're supposed to proclaim the truth and let each man judge himself. And that's why I always say that in altar call. Look, you got to judge yourself. You have to ask yourself right now, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? And I promise you, you might not want to do it, but if you really look at your life, if you look at the way you're living and you ask yourself that question, you will get an answer. And I would say 99% of the time, the answer that you give is the right answer.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at your life, you look at the way you're living, you know the deepest, darkest areas of your heart better than I do. Not as good as God, but better than I do. So if you ask yourself, am I saved? Is my life the life of a Christian? You can answer that pretty well for yourself. And that's why we're all called to ask that question. We're all called to give an answer. And that's why I always encourage people, ask yourself that question. Really think about it. Even if you've been going to church for 25 years, sit down and ask yourself that question.
I'd say put it up against God's word.
Yeah.
Because I think there are times that we can allow the guilt to overwhelm us, though. You know what I mean? And be like, I'm not worthy.
Yeah.
This sin from my past, I struggle with that for a very long time.
Sin from the past.
Yeah.
Sin from the
yeah.
past. The question is, right now, is my life marked by my love for Christ or my love for the world?
Right.
That's the question you have to ask. Not in the past.
Yeah.
Right now. at this very moment, if I were to die in this very moment, is my life marked by my love for Christ, or is my life marked by my love for the world?
Right.
And that's a hard question to ask.
It's a difficult question. Yeah. Amber actually got back to us on Facebook already and said, well, see, I was saved and I go to church twice a week, but there's a lot of things that happened in the past that caused me to fall farther away from God. So I'm working on it, but the events from the past are making it extremely hard for me to be close to him again. If you're listening, Amber, I really want to encourage you to call us if you can. 505-338-3701. That's 505-338-3701. I would love to talk deeper on this because it's tough having a Facebook conversation.
Yeah, and Amber, I would just say to this, you know, I hear things that I hear a lot of Christians say, and they worry me. And I'll tell you what it is. You're saying, I was saved, and I go to church twice a week. And here's the understanding. That's not salvation. And that's what we're trying to say here. Going for an altar call and going to church twice a week is not salvation. You can't be a Christian twice a week and be a non-Christian 5 days a week and expect to go to heaven.
Right.
So what we're asking you isn't, have you gone for an altar call, isn't, have you said the sinner's prayer. It's, is your life marked by your love for Christ outside of church? If your life is not marked by your love for Christ outside of church, then you're not saved. And that's just what the Bible says. That's just sanctification. Now, could you have lived a horrible life before and you have a hard time dealing with that as a Christian? Yes. Yes, very much so. But if you're still doing the same things and living in the same areas, and walking away from Christ on a continual basis, then the issue isn't that you're saved and walking away. The issue is that you were never saved in the first place. So that's what we're saying here. And that's where it's a question that you have to ask for yourself, because I can't answer that for you.
Yeah. Dude. Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hey there, guys. How's it going?
It's
good.
Going.
How you doing, Kelly Deb?
Good. Hey, listen, I had a question. A friend of mine just died, and he was an alcoholic, and he was not in recovery. Now, it's kind of a two-part question. The first part is, okay, since he was still in his sin, basically, but he was making steps to get out of it. In fact, he had gone for, you know, help, actually. He made the effort because I had basically called him out and said, look, I'm not going to enable this behavior anymore. And anyway, so the long and short of it is he died. And
hold on. Let me, before you finish, let me say this. If you're about to ask if we know whether or not he went to heaven or hell, there is no way we can answer that.
Yeah.
I will tell you that right now.
Oh, okay, then forget that one.
No, it's still
I mean, it's a great question, but it's like saying, because you know what I mean? It's like, dude, Bradley Knoll from Sublime, you know, he kicked heroin and he started trying to turn his life around and then fell into that temptation one last time and shot a needle into his arm and died.
Right.
So let me tell you this.
You know what I mean? It's like,
I can't tell you where his heart was, but let me tell you this. If he had a genuine love for Jesus Christ, if he asked Christ to come into his life and he was trying to get his life right with God, can sinners be addicted to, or can Christians be addicted to something? Yes. Can Christians be stuck in a sin and be trying to get out of it? Yes. I was a Christian and I was addicted to pornography for 10 years. And I love Jesus Christ, and it took a long time for me to kick that, and I needed help and I needed accountability and I needed people in my life. I believe I was saved during that time, but I was having a problem with an addiction.
Yeah.
So is it possible for someone who's saved to be struggling with an addiction? Yes. Now, it really boils down to where his heart was, and that's where we can't answer.
Exactly.
And you know, that's something that we, whenever I have someone that comes to me and says, well, my friend committed suicide, is he in heaven or hell? You know, part of that's like, look, you know, one, I can't judge him. You can't even judge him. But realistically, it's going to be you that's going to have the best understanding of where his life was. You know, if you look at them and say, okay, well, they committed suicide, but they went to church. Are they going to heaven? Well, what do you mean by they went to church? Well, they went to church once a week, but then at school they drank and they smoked pot and they hung out with these friends and they cursed all the time and they were sleeping with multiple people and, you know, they didn't really like going to church, but they went there because their parents forced them. Are they in heaven? Probably not. Well, I've got a friend, they committed suicide. They really love Jesus Christ. They just struggle with depression constantly, and they finally lost the battle and they finally gave up, but they told me so many times they love Jesus Christ. They just wanted to be home with him.
Yeah.
Is that person in heaven? Probably, but even then I can't tell you for sure.
Yeah.
So it really boils down to the heart and the person specifically. And I'm never going to have the answer specifically for that person. My voice is going away, too.
Okay, sorry, and man. I love the subject matter. Let me make it a little more straightforward about someone else, and it's been a homosexual relationship and an addiction at the same time, but forget the addiction part. Homosexual relationship, but the family who's Christian and the mother of the son believes that he's in heaven, and she's been my Christian mentor forever.
I'll tell you right now, Kelly Deb, because any hypothetical or any situation that you throw against us, I refuse to say whether someone is in heaven or in hell because I'm not the judge.
I was actually going to say, what is the best way for me to address in love to a person that, I can't judge, and none of us can because we don't know the heart, but I mean,
the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. God's word.
Read to him, Matthew. Right. A tree that does not bear forth fruit is dead. I'll cut it down. I'll throw it in the fire. Read to them 1 John. Walk in the light. Don't walk in darkness. Read to them passages from Romans. It talks about all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Read passages to them that there is salvation in one name. That name is Jesus Christ. Read to them passages about sanctification. Read to them the Bible.
Right.
And I would just say, ask them how they can reconcile. You know what I mean? I have friends who say, you know, dude, I love Jesus, but I super love my girlfriend more and I'm sleeping with her right now. And it's like, okay, cool. How can you reconcile that with 1 Corinthians chapter 6? How can you reconcile that with every single time it talks about sexual immorality and walking and living and by the flesh and saying, yeah, but you don't understand. I love this person. Uh-huh. Okay. So you love this person more than you love God. You know what I mean? So it's got to be, it has to be reconciled with God's word.
This is where I say there's a difference between living in a sin and struggling with a sin.
Absolutely.
What I mean by that is there's people who can be labeled alcoholics because they have a true addiction to alcohol, but they're not drinking every day. They struggle with it every single day of their lives, but they're not doing it every day. Same as someone can be, technically, you could say they're addicted to pornography and that they have a strong desire every day when they wake up to go on their computer and look at pornography, but they battle that and they don't do it. Sure, they might fall into it occasionally, but they repent of that and they're actively trying not to do it. Then there's other people that say, look, I'm gay, and God better accept me that way, or whatever, and I'm going to sleep with as many
this
guys
is the
as
way
I
he
want,
made me.
And that's the way he made me, and I'm not going to change. I think that's an entirely different story.
Right.
It's one thing to struggle with homosexuality. It's another thing to actively practice it. It's one thing to struggle with an alcohol addiction. It's another thing to actively every day go get drunk. It's one thing to struggle with pornography addiction. It's another thing to look at porno and masturbate every day.
Right.
There's a huge difference between the two.
Right.
And a hard part of that too is I don't know what people do in the secret place. They could tell me, oh yeah, I don't struggle with it. I mean, I struggle with it, but I don't do it. And then when they get home, they're doing it. You know, so it's hard for any one person to answer that. Only God sees the hidden places of the heart. And that's why I say the best thing is for us to answer that for ourselves.
Yeah.
Cause we can't fool ourselves and we can't fool God. Mm-hmm. So, well, we can fool ourselves actually.
Yeah.
Fool God, but the best person to ask is ourselves on that.
Okay, guys, you were awesome. You answered it spot on, and
awesome.
Seriously, for other than there was many more answers in there for me as well. So thank God for you guys. And if you get a chance, peek out the window. It's an awesome sunset.
Right on.
Beautiful.
I'll see you guys soon.
Is it the smoke sunset where the sun looks like it's bleeding?
I know, right?
Sun looks like it's giving birth.
You're listening to Shock Therapy Live, Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig with you this evening. The phone number is 505-338-3700. Mm-hmm. First evening of Static U. We've got a lot of cool teachers on the way this evening, including your dad, Skip Heitzig, going to be rocking it on Static U tonight. He's pretty good. Ravi Zacharias tonight as well. You can check out the full lineup at mystaticradio.com. Going back to the phone lines now, 505-338-3700. Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, a question for you. What if someone doesn't get a chance to, you know, be lucky enough to go through their, you know, pornography, alcoholism, and they die when they're, let's say, you know, 12, 13 years old in an accident, motorcycle wreck, just to say, and they're not saved. Where are they going? Where do you think they might go?
Dude, this is hard. These are all hypotheticals. And
right.
What I have a hard part with these questions is we can make hypotheticals about, did this person go to heaven, did this person go to hell? And it's like those hypotheticals that skeptics ask, can God make a rock big enough that he can't lift it?
But that's outside of his nature.
If there's a God in the world, why would he
outside
allow suffering?
Character.
You know, all of these different questions. And it, again, I can't judge someone's heart. if that 12 or 13-year-old kid had a genuine love for Jesus Christ and they were habitually walking with Christ and not habitually walking in sin, they're going to go to heaven.
Well, this he said that this person did not know Jesus.
Here's a regular kid that might have been drinking, into pornography, into whatever. Just like a regular kid didn't have a chance to grow out of it.
Jesus Christ happened to die before his time.
Okay.
Well, I would never say happened to die before his time because the Bible says it is appointed. Yeah, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. So,
what I would say is this: the question you're asking has to do with the age of accountability. Now this is the thing: if a 25-year-old lived a horrible life, pornography, addictions, all this stuff, and never accepted Christ, and he died, he'd go to hell. Now you're saying a kid. And you're getting into the idea of the age of accountability. At what age are we accountable for our sin? The Bible talks about that. The Jewish customs hold to this idea that there's an age of accountability. The Jewish culture believes it's 13. It's when you have your bar mitzvah. And at that point, you're accountable for your sin. I don't believe it's a specific age. I believe it's different for every single person. And the reason I do is because people progress differently and we gain cognizant abilities differently. For instance, there's some people who struggle with mental disabilities, Down syndrome, autism, and they can be 55 years old and have the mental capacity of a 5-year-old. If that's the case and they die without having accepted Christ, I don't think God's going to send them to hell. I believe that God is going to look at that innocence and realize that they never had an opportunity to accept Christ, and he'll give them grace. Now, I believe there's some kids, even at 11, 12 years old, are very cognizant of what they're doing. They're very knowledgeable about the sin they're doing. They realize it, they understand it, and they don't care. So it really boils down to the age of accountability and the specific person
of where they're at. No excuse for the kid. A real smart kid, smart guy. What was going on? Just never got saved.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And actually, this kid got ran into. It wasn't like he did it. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't something he caused.
Here's what I would say.
I'm saying God killed an accidental death that he didn't cause and was never saved. I mean, never went to church, not real big on church. Maybe if it was like a, you know, there's a ceremony or something like that or whatever, wedding. Let me do this.
I'll give you an answer to your question. If this kid was at a place in his life where he knew that what he was doing was wrong, realized that there was a right and a wrong, and he was
at
that place.
Hold on. There is right and wrong.
There is right and wrong. The Bible gives us clear right and wrong. So if he was at a place in his life where he knew the difference between right and wrong, and he chose wrong and never accepted Christ, then that person, regardless of whoever it is, will go to hell. If he's at a place where he didn't quite realize that, he was still learning his way through life, and he was still trying to find the difference between right and wrong, and he still didn't have that full understanding, and he died, I believe God will give that person grace, that they would fall into the age of accountability. But again, it's something that I can't answer. It's something that only God can answer,
and
it's going to be different for every person.
Here's what I would say.
Just so happened that, let's say, you know, because you were addicted to pornography, and it just happened you went outside one day and someone accidentally ran over you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you were in a bad state and you were addicted.
And you did not know Jesus Christ.
Go to hell. No, I'm talking about you.
Yeah, I'd accepted Jesus Christ. I love Jesus Christ in my heart, and I was constantly trying. Yes. Hold on. Ask me a question. Let me answer the question.
But he's saying, hold on. I'm the host here. Both of you guys stop. Cause here's what I believe you're asking on the phone. You're asking a hypothetical question. Let me give you a not hypothetical answer. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said this: I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Sadly, we are born into sin. We are born into sin, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And if we do not reconcile our lives, our hearts, our attitudes to Jesus Christ, we will be separated from him forever, no matter who we are. Now, we could go into the hypotheticals of the age of accountability and this and that, or whether it was an accident or whether it was not, and it doesn't matter, because the bottom line is, if someone has never accepted Jesus Christ into their heart, if someone has never truly given themselves over, surrendered their life, has never done anything with the name of Jesus, has lived a piss poor life and has tossed it away and hasn't cared, whether it was an accident, whether whatever, It doesn't matter because the Bible clearly states that Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Yeah, and
I understand that. But what you're saying is from this perspective of living a piss-poor life, from having understood and having the being lucky enough to mature, like you said, to the fact where you go past your pornography, alcoholism, whatever it is.
Okay, now, so what is the age of maturity?
What if someone got you and accidentally killed you? And it wasn't
But here's what I would say. Here's what I would say. The book of Jeremiah says...
I'm not talking about And I was at a pool hall watching. You know,
right. Let me.
You know what I'm saying? What if something like that happened? You know.
Let me tell you what would happen. Let me speak here, okay? Because you're obviously coming from a place of hurt. Because what I'm hearing is
this ain't no made up scenario.
Right, and that's why I'm saying this is obviously a place of look. You knew somebody, and this person passed away. It was an accident, and you want to know if this person could possibly be in heaven because they weren't to a quote unquote age of accountability according to your standard. But that's not it.
That's not what I said.
You know what I mean?
No, that's not what I said. I'm listening to what you're saying. And it brought the question to me because I never really questioned until I heard you guys talk about how you went through this, went through that, and then come out of it. And then, you know, if whenever you die, you're in a place where you're not exercising your good faith, then, yeah, at that point in time, you know, you got to be a Christian living a Christian life. You can't be, you know, a Christian living a sin life or a sinner living a Christian life. And I heard all that. But what if you don't have none of that? What if you don't have none of those options, none of those luxuries.
Dude, let me tell you.
Let me tell you.
Let me tell you.
Past 13 years old.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. What is the age of maturity and accountability? At what age do people become accountable for their sin?
Really?
Yes, there is.
I'm talking about being saved here.
No, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being saved.
Right, and that's why I brought in the book of John, because the bottom line is, man, we can't answer that. Because the truth is, Jesus Christ said himself, he's the only way to heaven. Jeremiah says, dude, before God told this to the prophet Jeremiah years and years and years and years ago, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And here's what I'm trying to say is, you can say, man, his life was cut short, but God doesn't see it that way. God knew that outcome. Do you know what I'm saying? It wasn't a surprise.
So you think that God did it? You know,
I never said that God did it, but God knew. There's a difference between...
Wrong choice of words,
because you're obviously very pissy and heated right now and not listening to what we're trying to say. There's a difference between saying God knew about something. God's outside of time. He already knows the outcome. If you read the book of Revelation, he talks about the end of everything. He talks about the end of this age, the end of this earth. So he understands and he knows on a grander scale. However, what I'm trying to tell you is that his life wasn't quote unquote cut short. You know what I mean? My dad died of my dad grew up in a new God. Okay. Let's talk about this. Okay. My dad knew God. My dad fell into some really stupid things. My dad started falling apart. My dad, who was a deacon at our church, lost his job, lost everything. He was going to lose the house. So he decided to take a stupid job running drugs for the Mexican mafia. And he was killed doing it when I was 6 years old. Okay? Do I know if my father is in heaven? I cannot answer that question for you. It's very personal to me. But I'm still telling you right now that it doesn't matter what age you were as far as, man, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I was cut short. What I'm telling you is my father was quote unquote cut short when I was a baby, man.
Yeah, and you know, when you ask the question, is there really an age of accountability? There is. And let me phrase it for you this way. There's an infant who dies. Is that infant going to go to hell because they never had an opportunity to accept Christ? No, because they couldn't. They didn't have the mental capacity to do so. Now, let me also say from another standpoint, there's a 25-year-old who's heard about God. He's heard about the gospel. He realizes that there are consequences to doing wrong. If that person dies and they stand before God and they say, oh, well, I didn't have the mental capacity to accept you. That's not true. There's an age of accountability. Somewhere in between there's an age where we can recognize and we can differentiate between right and wrong. Now, can I answer what that age was for this specific person? No, because I believe it's different for each person because people develop differently. Some people develop very quickly. I've met 11 and 12-year-olds who don't have that kind of a capacity. They're very innocent. They have that natural innocence. I've met others who when they do something wrong, they know it and they actually take pleasure and pride in it. So there's a difference between different people. And so I can't answer that question for this person specifically. Only God can. And no amount of arguing over it will give us that answer because right. ultimately only God knows and only God judges and we can't judge. But there is a definite age of accountability and I believe that's different for each person.
You into something else.
Does that help, man?
Not really.
Well, I'm sorry, man. That's I'm just giving you what the Bible says, man. And when we're talking about salvation, the Bible says it's not just – you can't just be sanctified either. The Bible clearly says that salvation is three parts, justification, sanctification, and glorification. Justification, where someone gives their life to Christ. Sanctification, where they walk with Christ. And glorified, when they die, they go to heaven. They have a glorified body. If someone knows the difference between right and wrong and they do not take part in those three steps, they're not saved. And that's what the Bible says, not what I say, not what Steve-O says, not what some book says. That's what the Bible says, and that's what we believe.
God knows what's going to happen no matter what.
He sure does. God does know that. The Bible says that.
The Bible does say that.
He says he knows that our sitting up. He knows. The Bible says in Psalms, you know my rising up. You know my going out. You knew me before I was in my mother's womb. You know. There's an appointed day for everything. The Bible talks about it in numerous times that God knows everything, that God knows the future. God knows when things are going to happen. That's what the Bible says. You can't shock God. You can't surprise God.
Yeah.
There's no instances in the Bible where God gets shocked or God gets surprised. God knows the outcome of every scenario, and that's not just some crazy doctrine. That's an essential doctrine of the faith in Jesus Christ. That's called the omniscience of God. And if you don't believe in the omniscience of God, then you don't believe in the full presence and the understanding of who God is.
I'm real. I mean, you know, then talk on it. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't hear what you said.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
I said that's okay whenever you're living through some minor deal like pornography or your dad went through whatever. But, you know, you did something real and then tell me that God planned that out for you, that was part of
cool, man. Well, thanks for judging my life and tell me where I'm from. Well, is it real?
No. Hold on.
Oh, you told me. That's what you've been telling
me. No, I haven't. I haven't told you once that.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's thank done. You. Honestly, thank you for your call, man. This is not the platform to argue and scream at each other, but yeah. Thank you. Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
I have a question.
Yes, what's up?
I heard something today that I hadn't heard put this way. So my question is if, because I was saved, it'll be 3 years ago this month, and my life does reflect that, the way I live. I pray every day that my life reflects that and the changes and who I was and the old me I am no more. My question is about tongues.
Okay.
And because the sermon I heard today kind of said that everybody is to be able to speak in tongues if you're truly filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I feel that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but yeah. I have never spoken in tongues, so I don't know if that's just a gift.
It is.
It is a gift, and
it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Just as when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to us, there's the gift of tongues, there's the gift of healing, there's all these different there's all these different gifts that the Bible lists out, and we don't. Not every person has all of them. Each person is given some. Each person is given, some people get more than others. But these are gifts from the Holy Spirit. It's not required for everyone to speak in tongues, just as it's not required for everyone to heal people. Or it's not required for everyone to be a pastor. Or it's not required, you know, people have different gifts that God's given them. And so it's not a requirement that every single person be speaking in tongues.
Okay, because that questioned my faith today because I really feel that I have been filled with the Holy Spirit because my whole life is completely different than who I was before.
Right.
And there are
doctrines out there that say that, you know, speaking in tongues is the initial physical evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. They will go to the Book of Acts. And there's doctrines that say, no, in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, this is one that I have struggled with myself, that I have dealt with myself, that I had to take it to God's word and say, okay, And I would just recommend taking it there. Go to God's Word and read up on what it says about speaking in tongues. And, because as it talks about the day of Pentecost, actually the first thing that happened was these flaming tongues flew into the room and landed on everybody's head. And then they started speaking in tongues. And then there's the whole idea of, well, what kind of tongues were they speaking? Because there were people walking by from other cultures and other languages who recognized their language. So were they speaking in the heebie-jeebies or were they speaking in those people's actual language? Okay. We don't know that either. And so, I would just check it out and don't be discouraged by that. Don't be overtaken by that. Deceptive philosophy, but I will say by that philosophy, because that is a doctrine that's not an essential doctrine of the faith, depending on where you go.
Yeah.
So,
okay. What I've always, well, in this past 3 years, what I've felt and what I've learned is that it was a gift, that certain people have that gift, but today when I heard it that way, it really questioned my faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and where we kind of find that, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about the spiritual gifts. And it says, "Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed." And then let's go on. It says, verse 4, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is with the same God who works all in all." And then it continues on, and it says in verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." And that's from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. And that's where we get the idea that we're all given gifts, but we're not all given the same gifts, and not everyone in the entire world is given one gift.
Awesome. Thank you so much for confirming that for me.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Hey, and I just want to say real quick, 7:52, we only have a few minutes left of the show. To the gentleman who called a minute ago, I hope he's still listening, because my first initial thought was to take it to the book of Genesis and the life of Joseph. And I'm not even going to pretend to know what the person was going through who called in. The person, it obviously sounded like some pretty rough stuff going on. But I want to point out in the book of Genesis chapter 37, starting there, Joseph's life, man, he had a terrible life. You know,
yeah.
He was sold into slavery. He was imprisoned for, 10 years, 15 years?
Yeah.
And God knew all those things. In fact, God was, you know, I wouldn't say did those things. However, at the very end, you know, Joseph is restored and he becomes Pharaoh's right-hand man. And it says, you know, what you meant for evil, God intended for good, and God used those situations for his glory. And so I would say that, yeah, I mean, we know that God does know these things. But man, it doesn't mean that God caused you to go through those things.
Yeah.
There's a difference between saying God knows and God sees and God did those things. And I think that's where it gets tricky and people start saying, well, no, God would never do that. You're right. Like,
you know, and this is where it boils down to. The world that God wanted you to live in, the world God wanted us to live in, was a perfect world where he created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, if we want to blame anybody, we can blame ourselves. We can blame Satan, because Satan came and tempted Adam, and Adam sinned. And because of that, the Bible says in Romans that just as through one man sin entered the world, sin spread, and death spread to all men. And so if we want to blame anyone, we can blame that. God didn't intend for that.
No.
God didn't intend for a fallen, flawed mankind. Did he know that there was the capability and that it would happen? Yes. But his intention and his heart was that we would live a perfect life.
Right.
So if we want to blame anybody, we can blame Adam. And then we can also blame ourselves, because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And every single person has sinned. I was talking to a buddy of mine after a teaching, and he said that when he was younger, he had really fallen into sin. He went to church, he said, but he said he was just a horrible person. He did a lot of bad things, slept with people. He would go ride his motorcycle drunk without a helmet at 200 miles per hour on tramway. All this crazy stuff. And he says, "I know that if I would have died, I would have gone to hell." And he said, "And that scares me." He said, I'm so happy I found Jesus, but it scares me because I know there's so many other people that are doing what I was doing. They're living a crazy life, and I'm so scared for them because I know that if I would have died, I would have gone to hell. So that's coming from someone who went through a lot of crazy stuff. And I there's tons of people who have been saved from a dramatic lifestyle, and they would all tell you that if they would have died in their sin, they would have gone to hell. So we're not telling you our bent or our view. We're telling you what the Bible says. Yeah. And some people say, well, that's not fair. It's not fair that God would send people to hell. You know what? It's not fair. It's not fair that Jesus Christ had to come and die for the sins that we committed. It's not fair that a perfect Son of God had to take on the form of man. And it's not fair that so many people go through their life denying Christ. And then when they have to answer for the sin in their life, they say that God isn't fair. You know, it would be like doing a string of murders and drunk driving and DWIs and then going into the courtroom and the judge giving you the sentence of life in prison. And then you saying that wasn't fair that he judged you. That's not true. You know, sin has consequences, and those consequences are hard, but it's the right and it's the just thing that when there is sin, there is a consequence that follows. And here's the thinking. All sin will be judged. My sin will be judged. Steve-O's sin will be judged.
Yeah.
My sin has been judged, though. Either your sin will be judged by Jesus Christ on the cross when he died for it, or your sin will be judged when you pay for it and you stand before Jesus on Judgment Day. All sin will be judged either way. The question is, will you let God judge your sin right now, or will you wait until you're standing before him in heaven?
I want to thank everyone who called in tonight for Shock Therapy Live. Man, intense.
Wow.
Phone lines are still open.
It was not tonight for me to have a bad
voice. I know,
voice.
I'm sorry. End of the show, but caller on the line, hang on the line. We can catch us off the air. But yeah, if you missed it, the podcast will be available at mystaticradio.com. And yeah. Get home, man.
Yes.
You sound awful.
Dude, my voice is not
so
happy.
Yeah. And next week, Shock Therapy Live?
Why wouldn't it be? What's going on next week?
I may or may not be out of town.
Oh, that's right.
Mm, yeah.
Man, it's like the beginning of June, too. We'll do one next week and then not do one for a month.
I know. I'm sorry.
Man.
We'll be back next week. We will.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.